Hello, everyone. This is Sherry Boone, along with Jamie Tenzer, on November 10th, 2015, with Real Coaching Sessions Unplugged. Thanks to all of you for coming along today. Today, we're very honored to have Mirella DeSavita, PCC, as our guest coach. If you've not already done so, please read Mirella's complete bio and see her contact info at realcoachingsessionsunplugged.com. So here's an outline of our call today. Mirella will coach her client for about 25 minutes, and then we will interview Mirella for about 10 minutes. Then we'll open up the line for you all to be able to ask questions. At 5 minutes before the hour, we'll make a couple of announcements and close the call. So Mirella and your client, thank you so much for joining us today.
Thank you, Sherry.
Thank you. And everyone else, we invite you to sit back now and listen in to this coaching session. Mirella, when you're ready, please begin your coaching.
All right, thank you. Hi, Gabby.
Hi, Mirella.
How are you this afternoon?
I'm good. A bit nervous, but it's gonna go well.
It certainly will. I want to acknowledge your presence, Gabby, and also to thank you for being part of this experience. Before we head into your coaching session, what would you like us to do to help you settle in and focus?
For the moment, I'm good. I'll just follow really your advice and just realize it's just the two of us and nobody else on the call.
Correct. So it's just you and I, and I want you to always bear in mind that I'm right there next to you. We've got 25 minutes together. How would you like to use our time?
I would just like you to guide me a little bit, or maybe make me see a little bit clearer where I'm going and the next, or what should my next steps be in my career. And as I say, maybe an outsider will just see it a little bit clearer than I do at this point.
So for me to be a better guide to you, help me understand, what would you like to walk away with from this call?
I would just like to get a bit of an idea of if I'm looking right at the steps I have to do. And just to put a little bit you into context, what I'm looking at is really making a change from a very well-paid, stable job within a big corporation into really going on my own. So I would just like to see if the challenges I am thinking I'm facing, they're real or they're just a little bit of fear of unknown that really takes its place in my soul right now.
Mm-hmm. So say a little bit more about this change that seems to be on your mind right now.
As I said, I have been working for quite a while now for a big corporation where I had the chance also to do a little bit of coaching, different levels, different aspects of the coaching. If anybody knows how internal coaching works, it's a little bit different than what you would like to do as an independent person. So it's been a few years now that I'm really contemplating the idea of really starting the practice, a practice of my own. It's just there are a little bit of challenges, I should say, or I don't even know how to call them, when I really think of, should I leave or should I stay? There's so many things that come to mind that I feel like, you know, that little bear in the cartoons with all the bees around mm-hmm. his head. That's yep. a little bit how my thoughts are.
Okay. All right. So thanks for this for the image you just shared with me. Just so that I'm clear, you are hoping to walk away from our time today with a clear understanding regarding the first step to take toward this change.
Exactly. You very well put it.
Okay. All right. Help me understand what's important to you in this change.
Of course, at this point, it's important, the financial aspect of it.
Okay.
But as equal as the financial aspect is the feeling of fulfillment, let's say, the feeling that my life touches other people and that somebody really is a better person because of me.
Keep going.
So what else is important? Is important to really know that success is really depends only on me, and definitely success to me is not defined only by material or the financial aspect of it, but in today's life, that's also an important factor. Also, what's important, and maybe I'm jumping a little bit, and this whole change from being part of the big mechanism to just being on your own, a few of the things that scare me are, you know, we all have better days or worse days in which you just do everything automatic because you just get into a routine. And when you're part of a big mechanism, those days are okay. You're not really hurting a big mechanism as much as you would hurt yourself being on your own, having those bad days. So, and another maybe fear, let's call it, is how do you motivate yourself in an ever-changing, that's how funny we were just talking about it, in an ever-changing society and life. Everything is at the speed of light around you. And sometimes it's like, how do you keep up with that when you're just one person?
Right. I'm actually hearing, if with your permission, I'd like to share with you what I'm hearing. I'm hearing almost three interesting, interrelated, but nonetheless, in my mind, three different things. I'm hearing this change is important to you because it will allow you to start to feel a sense of fulfillment. And then I also heard fear around being on your own from being part of a big corp where it has its policies and its procedures and so forth, and being on your own. And what does that look like on days that feel somewhat more strange? And then I also heard, you called it perhaps another fear, how do you keep motivating yourself in an ever-changing society when you're on your own?
Yes.
So I'm bringing these three to your attention. Where is your energy right now? Where would you like to focus?
I think I would really choose the motivation, because that is really the underlying for the financial security, for really the confidence to be on your own. So how do you really, we'll take this one and develop, how do I myself motivate? Because we all know a small business has ups and downs. And motivation at the beginning could be excellent. How do you stay motivated within your own business?
So that is the question that you'd like to have an answer to?
Yes.
Okay. And what's important to you in being able to answer that question?
It would be important for me to know that when I say motivating myself is motivating myself to stay up to date with everything, staying very real and connected, so you can reach people at any level possible. I have to admit I'm not the best with the social media, which is one of the biggest markets, I should say, nowadays. And to be relevant to a lot of clients means that you have to be present, and present not necessarily just because your name is there, but really present in touching their lives and present in their everyday processes. So when, again, and I might sound like a broken record, when you work for a big corporation, somebody is in charge of that. When you're yourself, you have to be in charge of that. So you have to go through all the things, or myself, I would have to go through all the things that I'm not comfortable with doing because I won't afford to pay somebody, and still do my job and not be distracted by everything else.
Mm-hmm. So if I'm hearing, what you're saying is this change that you are contemplating, what is making it slightly more fearful for you is how do you keep your motivation in staying connected to people while doing the work that you love?
Exactly.
Okay. Assuming that you would be doing the work that you love, and assuming that you would know how to go about the social media, what would I see you doing?
What would you see me doing? I would definitely like to really put myself out there in, and it's very hard because we all know in coaching it's hard to sell something. It's not like you put a sale up and people are just gonna love your product. So in order for clients to get to know you, for clients to trust you, I would really try to find a way to put myself out there through, I don't know, maybe blogging, maybe insights on different issues, maybe talking about things that are important to other people too. It's just that I have the ideas, I just don't know how to put them in practice.
Mm-hmm. So you do have the ideas around how to increase your own social media presence?
Yeah. I think the ideas are there. It's just the whole technicalities that scare me, and the idea that if what scares me even more is just an idea won't necessarily bring you the financial aspect with it. So it has to be put in place in such a way that it will trigger that financial aspect. So I guess it's more like, how do you market yourself? How do you market your ideas in such a way that they distinct themselves throughout everything that's out there? Because let's be honest, I'm not the only one that does that or will be doing that.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. So what I hear you say is a lot of you taking full ownership for the social media presence in order to drive clients toward you. What would be another way to go about it?
another way, and I would say probably the best way, it will be to have somebody do that. It's just that it does come with a cost associated. And I'm going back to the financial aspect of it. Can I afford to pay somebody to take care of it?
And assuming if you could afford, and assuming that your ideas are taken, what would be, what would continually motivate you to keep building toward this, this change that you've made for yourself?
That's a very good question, because it kind of really triggers that fear of what if I can't be motivated every day, or after the first burst of energy will go, will disappear. What if I can't be motivated again? But I think I will, to answer that really, I think the only thing that will really motivate me is knowing that I do make a difference for people. And I think the motivation, I just had a very, it's like a bulb went. It's like I'm trying to motivate myself, to find the motivation inside me. And you really had a very good point that it might come from outside sources. It really might come from people that are happy around me, or that I know I've made a change in their lives. Okay.
If we were to just take a moment in our session and just help me understand where you were when we started and where you are right now.
I think a lot advanced in the sense that one of the fears is almost to reduce to nothing. Not that it doesn't exist, it exists and it will always be there. And I think if it wouldn't be, it wouldn't drive myself. But you kind of made it look like it's not a real fear. It's just fear of unknown. So definitely improved. Yeah.
In the time that we have left, and this, I'm asking for your permission here. In the time that we have left, what would be useful to you?
What will it be useful?
And again, is in relation it to this change that you are contemplating, that you have been contemplating for some time?
I would ask you to just resonate with me and like be my sounding board and just tell me if they're real fears or they're just normal, that some of them might just go away. Is it Am I right to be so scared of such a big change, or I'm just making myself crazy?
Gabby, any change, whatever change that is in life, will always bring forth fear and excitement. And it sounds to me as though your choice right now is to focus on the excitement.
And you know what, again, thank you. You really brought, like by just mentioning the change, you really brought into my mind the fact that I think in the last 15 years I've gone through lots of changes. I think it's really what keeps me on my toes is just I think a lot of the changes I had gone through in the last 15 years, some of them I had no idea what I was getting into. So when you don't really know, you're a lot more courageous. It seems that we're crazy. It's just that it seems that now I know a little bit more about how it could be, and or I'm just making it as I go along, and that's what really scares me. The fact that I know a little bit, just enough to scare me. It's like a toddler, let's say. When they're very young, they don't really know what is fear. So then as they start to walk and they discover that something might hurt them, that's where the stage I'm at right now. So...
Mm-hmm. And so am I hearing you say that you are making the choice not to be the courageous person that you were and to be more vigilant? What's the choice that I'm hearing you make right now?
Yeah, I think you are right. I think I am more, not necessarily not courageous. I think in my mind, I'm being rational.
Okay.
It's like mind over heart.
Okay.
I've always been told that I'm a bit of a dreamer, and maybe that's where the courageous part came from. And it's like now I have, for the first time, it's something that my financial stability depends on.
Sure.
So I can't really be the heart, the dreamer. I have to really be rational about it. And all that rational that comes into the equation really scares me.
Sure. And what would it look like, Gabby, if you were not to make such a duality, but actually have rationality and the dreamer work together? What would that look like?
I think it would really mean that I would have to really sit down and do a plan.
Uh-huh.
I would have to really cut the comfortable parts that financial stability brings for the next 6 months to a year.
Uh-huh.
And I think I will have to be, okay, let's do this. And if ever it doesn't work out, I could always find another job.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So what names can we give the rational side of you and the dreamer side of you as you embark on this exercise of planning out the change?
What names?
Mm-hmm.
I think that the dreamer will, you see, it does come up more and more. I think the rational one is the one that I feel like I have to, because I can't really not think about the jump I'm about to do. But it really comes back to this side, the dreamer. What name could they give him? I don't know. I think a little bit, you know, we could call it like, I don't even remember, you know, that cartoon with the up, where the house goes up in the sky? That's
yes.
Me just waiting to really
okay. All right.
Take off, just
All right.
waiting
nice.
To take off. And
okay.
I think the rational part of me, Mirella, is really, and it does, I have to admit, it does have a bit of a, it's in relation with all my years of financial field that really
okay.
make me think of everything. So that would be really the anchor that will keep
okay.
that house that's taking off.
Okay, so Mr. or Mrs. Anchor and Mr. or Mrs. House that the roof is taking off will sit next to you as you plan out the change. Okay.
Okay.
Right. So what are you taking away from our conversation, and what do you see for yourself as the next step?
to be honest with you, what I really take away today is, and thank you very much for it, because you just really put your finger on few aspects that really are part of my character. And what I do take away from it is that if I don't try, I will probably regret it the rest of my life. And probably a lot of the things, you know, when you want or you don't want to do something, you really find reasons both ways. So so part of the plan will be to really put my reasons where I should to really take a decision. And if in a few years now from now, you'll hear me, it just didn't work. That's too bad.
Or I will hear you say what?
That thank you very much for making me try.
Because?
Because it does fulfill me. It does bring me what I really wanted from all this.
Yes, yes. Well, Gabby, I do wish you a wonderful exercise with both
sides
of you accompanying you in your planning strategy.
Thank you.
You're welcome. Okay. Sherry?
Okay. Thank you, Marella. And thank you very much to your client. What a great session. Thank you so much. All right, beautiful. So Jamie and I would like to ask you a couple questions. The first thing that I want to say, Marella, is, you know, I really noticed, and I thought it was so great the way you made your client comfortable, you know, created just such a nice, safe place for the coaching. Today on the phone, you... And she noticed, you know, she mentioned that too. She said, I'm going to follow your advice that it's just the two of us here. So obviously you talked with her beforehand. And just saying that out loud can bring such a you know, that sort of place of calmness and safety. And I thought that was so great that you both came into the call so prepared that even though all these other people are going to be listening, it's just the two of us. And that really informed, I think, the quality of this coaching session. So what a nice job there. I wonder, Marella, if you could just talk for us a little bit about, you know, I saw this really graceful flow and dance in this session, and I wondered if you could just talk a little bit about how you get out of the way of your client's process while at the same time being her partner and guide. Can you unpack that a little bit for us, Marella?
All right, I will do the best that I can.
Okay.
So, definitely, Gabby at the very beginning said so much, and I could feel so much emotions in everything she was saying. I also sensed some discord. I also sensed schisms. I also sensed a whole bunch of very important content for her. And there wasn't necessarily a flow. And so when I start to sense these things, I remind myself to just stay away. And so I remind myself not to get caught because I won't serve my client if I get caught in all the content that they're putting out, because they're doing it for themselves. They're putting out this content. It's important for them to put it out there. Potentially some clients are very visual. They need to hear, and then they see it in their mind's eye. So for me, I start to see all of this around, and I keep telling myself, stay away, stay away. So it's not a detachment by far. It's more awareness. I'm noticing myself being drawn, into something that, ooh, that's interesting. And then I quickly tell myself, okay, get back to a place where you can now keep observing. And then mm-hmm. I get drawn back in, and I feel pretty connected with some of the content. And then I, ooh, pull yourself back out and stay here for a while until the client comes to a reasonable, quote-unquote, closure on what it is that they want me to really focus on.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So that's the kind of dance I'm doing. Awareness so, of being, yeah.
Yeah. I love your description of that dance, you know, and it sounds like to me that it's a sort of that, so you're so in the moment that it's that, okay, this is me, then I'm over to her, I'm noticing my thought, back to her,
yep.
And just that, it's sort of that becomes very natural, but it's almost a microsecond, you know.
Yes.
Thing that's going on there. Yeah. Yeah. Great. So nicely done. Beautiful job. Jamie, do you have a question for Mirella?
Well, yeah, just following on to that, I love that that idea of sometimes we think of coaching presence, and I heard such a strong coaching presence in you, and that presence allows us to be self-aware too. So being, you know, noticing mm-hmm. what's going on with us doesn't take, if we're really present, it doesn't take away from that. It actually supports that.
Mm-hmm.
And so I just wanted to kind of say that out loud, because I think sometimes we can feel like self-awareness will take us out of the presence, and it actually works so well together. And I really heard that, and also in what you just said, Mirella. So I think my question for you then is, you know, how do you get yourself there in terms of preparing for a session or connecting with your client? Is it different for every client? Is there a way that you're able to kind of, you know, pull yourself in to that kind of presence for each coaching session? Do you have a strategy, I guess, is my question.
So I certainly do. The one thing that I do is allow at least 30 minutes before a client to really rid my mind, and I do mean rid my mind, of everything that has taken place for me up until that point in time. And I also, I like to laugh a lot, and so I remind myself, you know, okay, Mirella, this now it's not going to be about you during the next 45 or 50 minutes. It's really all about, in this case, it was all about Gabby. And so I don't want to hear you talk. If you're going to open your mouth, it has to be really relevant for your client. And so I will say that to myself. And, of course, it always makes me giggle because, of course, I as so many other people would love to tell Gabby what to do and would love to tell her how to go about this, right? And so I tell myself these things, and it's been my practice for many years now. This is the two things I will always tell myself, and 30 minutes of preparation to truly rid my mind. And sometimes that means writing everything down that I'm thinking about up until that moment in time. And other times it's just taking a breath of fresh air and just walking through those thoughts and just realizing that they're just thoughts. You know, and right now what my client needs is for me to get out of my head and into her space. And this for me is really, really important. So I can't get into her space if I'm constantly drawn to my thoughts.
Mm-hmm.
And so that's how I prepare.
Mm-hmm. That's great. Thank you. Very, very instructive. Yeah. Sherry?
Yeah. Yeah, thank you, Mirella. That was a beautiful description of and a reminder to all of us. So thank you. One thing that I noticed that I also wanted to comment on, I really liked when you, it was sort of in the middle or getting close to the middle of the session, and you decided to reflect back to her, and you said, I'm hearing these, and there were three things that you kind of recapped and reflected back to her, and then you asked her, so where is your energy right now? And I thought that was so great that you, it was such a nice way to sort of synthesize, but then give it back to her. You know, where's your energy? Where do you want to go? So I just wondered if you could talk about that a little bit, what was going on for you in that moment.
Okay. So here's, for me, was a very good example of being drawn in by content. I certainly felt myself drawn in by one, and for me, that's a clear indicator. It's time to ask.
Mm.
The one that I was drawn in by was feeling fulfillment, because there's joy around it, it's future-oriented, and so forth. And so the minute I start to sense myself drawn in by content that the client has put out, I quickly remind myself, you step back, because that's not the only thing they said.
Yeah.
And this isn't about you, it's about them. And it's not about what you think is important, it's what they think is important. So you're going to ask the question, and that's the reason why I asked.
Mm-hmm.
That is my hook. The minute I hear content that draws me in, I definitely never want to be that person that agrees with myself, that's where the client has to go. And quite frankly, it's interesting, right, because here I am telling everyone that's the one that drew me in, and that's not the one she went with. And so that's another lesson for me, again, to keep reminding myself how important it is never to assume that's what draws the client in. Here's a perfect example. She went to the one that I wasn't even thinking about.
Yeah, yeah. That's such a great point about not assuming, or not making the decision, and or not assuming, oh, this is the one we'll go with, or this is what's important. Yeah, like you say, she went with something different than you might have thought.
Exactly.
Yeah, yep. Yep. Great, beautiful.
I have one more question, actually. This is Jamie. Just wondering if this is kind of a typical session for you, or if this was, you know, different in some way, aside from doing it, you know, on a call with people listening. Was this kind of a standard session for you?
It definitely did feel like a standard session for me. The only exception is sessions are typically longer for me. They're about 50 minutes. Mm-hmm. And so when they are about 50 minutes, the pause that we took and the question that I asked her, and then, of course, she went ahead and offered what she would like for the remainder of the time, sometimes that takes much longer. And so we end up 50 minutes into, we round it up to 50 minutes. But this definitely was a very typical session for me. It always has that flow to it.
Okay, great. And was that challenging for you to have the shorter time frame, or was that an easy...
Not at all.
Okay.
No, not at all.
Great. Really great job.
Okay, good. Thanks, Marilla. Let's go ahead and open it up to all of our listeners. So everybody, what are you curious about? If you can say your first name, if you have a comment, question, or acknowledgement for Marilla, go ahead and press *6 now.
Hello, this is John.
John, go ahead.
Yes, like you said earlier, I like the way Marilla, when she said, where is your energy, and how would that direct you as to what you want to focus on? I thought that relationship between energy and focus, you know, was helpful. And I liked the way Marilla kept going back to get more specific. She would say things like, what would I see you doing? And then when she said, you know, change brings fear and excitement, let's focus on the excitement. You know, I really thought that was good. A question I have for Marilla is, I see in your bio where one of your areas is developmental potential, and I wonder how you see coaching and developmental potential working together and helping the client to grow developmentally, and if you have any particular model that you use.
Thank you, John. I don't have one particular model. I guess that there are about four different models in my head that are running all at the same time, and I'm really not quite articulate to even tell you which one was guiding me or if there were any guiding me. I guess it's almost all assimilated together and they sort of find their way. But in developmental potential, it's really about forward-looking, and it's about focus on what is working for the client. And so I guess what you saw, and you're bringing this to my attention, and I thank you for that, is exactly just that. I said to her, you know, fear and excitement, let's focus on the excitement. I didn't say let's focus on fear and what that, how that could change. I guess I could have gone there, but my way of thinking and way of seeing people is realizing and recognizing that they are actually quite resourceful when we help them focus on what more they can do for themselves. And so automatically I will, my mind goes right toward the place where I feel that they hold the greatest potential. And in this case, the idea that I had as Gabby is speaking was, why not focus on the excitement part? We know the fear is there. In fact, it was one of her buckets when she said, on my own brings out a lot of fear. So I recognize, I notice that's part of it too. So the developmental potential learnings for me has had me now focus, orient my thinking toward what more can the client do for themselves. Does that answer your question, John?
Yes, that's helpful. And I could, you know, see a relationship between how fear can cause lack of motivation.
Correct. Yeah.
Thank you, John. Great. Who else
Hi,
has a question?
Yeah. This is Carmen. I have a question. At one point, and to me rather surprisingly, she all of a sudden got that clarity and started speaking from that. Do you have something that you attribute to that, you know, that aha moment? Because right before that, it didn't seem like it was happening.
I think Gabby would probably be the perfect person to speak, because I certainly don't want to take what she experienced away from her. From my point of view, I think it has less to do with the kind of question I ask and potentially more to do with the fact that the question just landed at the right place.
Mm-hmm.
It just so happened to be that at that moment in time, in the time that we had, in that particular maybe second, I asked the question that led to her saying what she said and therefore experiencing what she experienced.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, thanks. It was just quite dramatic to me. So thank you.
Yeah, thanks, Carmen. Yeah, you know, just to follow up with that, Morella, I always say, you know, there's so much going on with the client that we don't know about, right? And there's so much thinking and things that are happening. So I love your answer that it landed at the right time. It was just a confluence of events, right?
Right. Yeah.
Hi, this is Suzanne from Vancouver.
Yes.
I just wanted to express deep gratitude because I'm walking away having witnessed mastery at work, how we are human, and yes, we will move in and out of coach position, and we might even get drawn into the detail, and then we'll pull ourselves back, and it's all okay. It's all about the journey that we're walking with our client, and you know, the more we notice, the less we do it. And some days we might do a bit more of it, and it is what it is. And I just so appreciate, it's not permission, but it's a real, it's all okay. I'm doing okay. So I really wanted to say thank you for that.
Thank you.
Thanks, Suzanne. Yes. Beautiful. Who else?
Hey, yeah, this is Kim Miles, and Marilla, I just wanted to...
Oh, hi, Kim.
Hello, good to talk with you. I love that throughout the whole conversation, there was establishing the agreement every single step of the way. And, you know, when I'm in class and I think of establishing the agreement, it's up front. But I really heard you establishing the agreement in every piece of the conversation, mm-hmm. and it was so natural that it didn't feel like there was a structure to it. It was just you being very present. So I really appreciate that learning. Thank you.
Mm-hmm. Thanks, Kim.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Thank you, Kim. Who else? Press star 6 to unmute your line.
Hi, this is Jen.
Hi, Jen.
Hi,
Jen. Hi, Sherry. Hi. I came on like 3 minutes late into the very top of the hour, and I just wanted to check as I'm going for my MCC. I just wanted to check, are we distinguishing this coaching session as PCC or MCC?
Marilla, would you like to speak to that?
Well, I certainly am in no position to even begin to say whether PCC or MCC. What I do know is the awareness that it doesn't belong to me. Nothing in that content, nothing in the statements belong to me. My client is, in fact, my guide. And that for me is a full awareness. Now, whether that sits at a PCC or MCC is for my clients to judge, certainly not for me. And to be honest, MCC or PCC in my mind wouldn't change how I go about the work and the session I just did. It's been a fundamental shift for me in my own progress of moving on to MCC to recognize the importance of detaching oneself from the content and truly stepping back and noticing. That has been the greatest lesson for me. I'm not sure if that answers your question, but I'm
yeah. Really, thanks, position. Marilla. And Jen, I will say that, you know, on Real Coaching Sessions, we don't distinguish. We don't say this is a PCC, this is an MCC. I mean, I think we invite coaches, PCC coaches, MCC coaches, to showcase their coaching and so that we can all learn from everyone. So in this context, we're not saying, you know, this is one level or another. Yeah. Jamie, do you want to add anything to that?
No, I think the question and both answers were fantastic. And,
okay, thank you.
I really appreciate everybody's input on that.
Thanks. Okay, anybody else? Any other comments, questions, acknowledgments from anyone before we move on?
Hello. Hi.
Go ahead.
This is Anne from Vancouver. Hi, Mirella. I was so inspired by this session because I think one of my greatest challenges is getting hooked by content, and so it really resonated with me when you said, as soon as I notice myself being hooked by content, I step back. Mm-hmm. My question have you ever noticed a time when then you had to go back to content? I mean, is it ever appropriate to re-hook to content?
Right. That's such a good question because certainly, you know, in some sessions we are human, and one of our colleagues on the call just said that as well, and it is a dance, right? So sometimes you can get hooked on content, and when you do get hooked on content or when I get hooked on content, I will make it clear that I'm hooked on content. I will say, oh, gee, it sounds as though I've sort of proposed that we focus here. What would you like to do with that? And that's how I unhook myself. I guess the question you're also asking is there ever time to go back to content that we think we ought to? My humble opinion is to ask the client, is there any usefulness in going back to 1, 2, 3 for you? And
right.
the answer is
right.
yes, I think there is. And I'll say, okay, can you remind me again I will ask the same question, you know, what's the energy around that? Or what importance does it have for you in where you want to go in our session today? So I always try to make sure that if I think that there might be content the client may want to go back to, I ask. And then if they say absolutely, I then want to make sure that the client recognizes the importance to where they want to go.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Thank you very much.
Mm-hmm. You're welcome. Mm-hmm.
Thank you, Anne. Okay.
Yeah. So I have a question.
Sure.
I noticed the use of the pronouns I and me from the coach, and I was just wondering how that played into, like, how you decide when to use I or me versus you. So, for example, what will I see when you do that, or what would tell me that you are this and that, as opposed to how will you know, or what will you see?
Yeah, I think in my own coaching practice, either of those would work, and sometimes mm-hmm. I'll do one or the other.
Mm-hmm.
The question for me is more a desire to have the client step into the five senses and really describe what it is that they would see themselves doing. So what would you see yourself doing, or what would I see you doing? Either of these would lead them to describe what they are going to do, and that's the intent is to help them see what they would be doing. So sometimes I will say, what would you see yourself doing? And other times it will just come out as, what would I see? So there's no real intent on my part to use the I versus the you. It just
yeah.
will come out that way. And it just so happened to come out this way. But either of those would work in any of my sessions.
Yeah, I don't agree. I'm pretty sure that there's even if it's just semantics, that the I really brings you into the coach into the mix, and that by really keeping it about the client, our best practice really is to make it about them. I don't know, just sort of like subliminally, it can really bring in the coach into the process, and for the client, it can really make them feel that duality. Just an observation.
I think it's a great observation, and it would be so much more informative to actually be able to step back and ask clients every time I personally use I or we or you, and
mm-hmm.
to really see what the difference is, because, again, I would have to assume, just like you're doing right now, assuming that perhaps there is a far greater advantage
mm-hmm.
to using what would you see yourself doing versus what would I see you doing. Absolutely.
Mm-hmm.
So I, of course, under the best of circumstances, it would be absolutely amazing to be able to sit back with the client and say, so assuming, you know, we were to do this all over again, what would it mean for you, and how would that move you forward? Absolutely.
Yeah, I mean, I could have just asked myself if my coach was using I, you know, pronouns like I and me, I would just naturally
yeah.
feel like they were a part of my process, and their presence was really important in my
yeah.
answering, yeah.
Thank you.
Great, thank you.
Okay, thanks, Jen. And thank you, Mirella, so much for answering all the questions, being so open and honest and present, and for your magnificent coaching today. Thank you so much. I'm going to turn it back over now to Jamie.
Okay, thank you. Wonderful, yeah, wonderful questions and answers. And I just want to give everyone an opportunity, actually not everyone, a couple of people, an opportunity to just share with us a takeaway from today's session for you, something that you're taking away that will benefit you as a coach or in your coaching. So are there a couple people who just want to share a quick takeaway?
Hi, this is Carol in Paris.
Go ahead, Carol. Yep.
I know someone already said this, but still that really hit me hard, the change always brings fear and excitement, and choose the excitement.
Mm-hmm.
I think that's great advice for everyone, and it's something I'm going to really remember about the session. So thanks so much.
Great. Thanks, Carol. Good. Someone else?
Okay. Well, I'll say that I had a takeaway, and that is just a reminder of how self-awareness and coaching presence go hand in hand. And I thank you, Mirella, for a terrific example of that in your coaching today. Thank you so much.
Thank you so much for the experience. Truly.
Sure. All right, so next month, our Real Coaching Sessions call will be on Tuesday, December 8th at 2 o'clock Eastern with Jim Parker, MCC, and we hope you will join us. And before I give the final code word, we have one more announcement. We're so excited. Sherry and I have developed a new class that we're offering beginning in January, and we're going to be certifying mentor coaches. So if you're interested in learning more about the program, you can visit mentorcoachcertification.com, or, of course, you can always email us directly at info@realcoachingsessionsunplugged.com. It will start the end of January. So please let us know if you're interested in learning more, and we will also be sending information out to you about it in the next week or so. So I think we'll stop the recording now and give the final code word.